Hey everyone, you're listening to the Kurt Landry Podcast, where we're going to help you discover your kingdom destiny. My name is Daryl, and sitting right beside me is Rabbi Kurt Landry. And in this episode, we're discussing the topic of faith in the marketplace, how your faith is intertwined in your career and other areas of your life. But before we jump into this episode, Rabbi, man, you are looking good today, man.
Oh, well, thank you. I feel good. You know, faith in the marketplace, this subject, I don't really choose these. It's kind of you and the audience and the staff here. But this is absolutely one of my favorite subjects because I really think that the real mission field for ministry is in what I would call, you know, in our culture, we call the seven mountains of influence. So, you know, like education, media, government, all the different seven mountains, like wherever the Lord puts you, I think that's your mission field. So that's what I kind of want to talk about today. I think that if people understand that God strategically puts in places and God puts gifts in you, and if you can get kind of a clear plan to where your gifts, your location, and your calling line up on your job, man, you're going to prosper.
Absolutely. So, Rabbi, you've got a download that we want to share. It's going to be a lot of really cool stuff. It's the 9 Gifts of the Spirit download that we have. You can find that at kurtlandry.com/CLP9. Of course, we'll put that short link. We'll put that in the show notes and description of this episode. So let's start with this, Rabbi. Let's look at, just give me a definition of the statement, faith in the marketplace.
Faith in the marketplace means that you have a measure. The scripture says you have a measure of faith. So there's a deposit in you. And I'm just going to share with you what the Lord gave me years and years ago. He said, the gifts and the faith that I give you does not belong to you. It belongs to all those who intersect your life and your path. So it doesn't. I mean, I can use it for my own, but when the Lord, so to say, rings the bell at the counter in the spirit and says, you know what, I want you to give a word of knowledge or operate in healing with this person, when he calls, he wants to be able to have free reign for deliverables. So what happens is your faith in God and what you carry, you take that into wherever you're working. So your workplace actually doesn't become a job and a salary and or a career, it actually becomes your mission field.
So I guess in your career, you know, we've discussed a lot about the fruit business and you know, that portion of your life out in Seattle and different times and different I guess side of your career and in your experience from California. When do you think you really maybe figured out how to intertwine your faith into your career? I mean, was it during the time as you're making the transition out for the fruit business and, you know, working with those group of men?
No, it actually, listen, I got radically saved. You need to get my book, Reclaiming Our Forgotten Heritage. You can find it where all books are sold, but I had such a transforming encounter in a bathtub where the Lord came and I got saved. I started operating in gifts and I didn't even know what the gifts were. And so what happens is I was hearing things in my head and in my heart and I would share it with people. In fact, I was so radical, the job I had when I got saved, actually 7 days after I got saved, I was fired because their words were, we didn't hire a Jesus freak.
Well,
we hired a marketing director. So of what I was taking care of. And I had just that year, we'd actually, my department had net of $7.5 million. So they're firing somebody that just made the company $7.5 million. So it was a serious decision. And so, but I was so on fire that it just like came out. So then when I got into the fruit business, I found myself, you know, the way the fruit business works, you have to understand, we're on the phone, You're calling people all over the United States that are produce buyers, and you're asking them if they want Washington State apples. So you're building a relationship with them. And what happens is those phone calls became my mission field. And then the company that I worked for, my three business partners, I became the face of the fruit business. So I was the one that traveled out and met, you know, did all the PR stuff. So what happened is when I would go into these places to do PR work, they already knew, quote, Jesus freaks, I'd say. a lot of people call me that.
Yeah. And this is in Seattle, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, we just started, you know, what happens is I would go out. I can share a, and I think I may have shared this story with you before, but, you know, we had a lot of people healed, miraculous things happen because of sharing and being spiritual on the phone with them, you know, four or five times a week, that when you're there on location, then things happen. So that's kind of what I'm saying. But no, I started as a missionary, if you want to call it that, in the marketplace, I mean, from the get-go once I got saved. In fact, I had to find a balance in my priorities because I was so balanced in the spirit, I was losing sales. So that wasn't good either. Listen, it took me a while.
You got to win.
I found the balance, but that's one of the reasons I teach what I teach. But realistically, if you'll be natural with it and find the balance, what happens is the Lord gave me a word years ago, Daryl, and he said, the fruit from your tree is only good if they come to pick it. So I'm not out like chasing people down. It's just that what happens is, naturally, you're going to encounter some people and they're going to ask a question. And when they do, it leads to you sharing the gospel and sharing the power of God with them.
What was the balance in your marriage? I mean, obviously, you know, you've told many times the story of Miss Christie praying for you and, you know, that the Holy Spirit working over time. And, you know, you just shared the story about being radically saved in the bathtub, but when you're going through that moment and it's you and your wife, right? What was that balance from career transition and then, you know, like your verbiage and like the way that you spoke and carried yourself completely changed, right? To where you had to figure out that balance in living, I guess, for that mission that God put on your heart to communicate efficiently, effectively to people, but then also to figure out how to make sales and balance that. Where was your marriage in all that?
Well, I'm still blessed, but I was very fortunate. Christie prayed me into the kingdom. She prayed for 3 years, and the Lord told her, don't preach to him, which it was good she didn't because I wouldn't have received it, but just love him and pray for him. So then when I actually got saved, my biggest advocate and teacher and intercessor, and still is to this day, all these years later, is Christie. So I didn't have, I'll be honest with you, you know, and I can say this now, with my business partners, some of their marriages weren't as like on fire for the Jesus side of like of the radical of what we were doing. And but then when the miracle started happening, that pretty much brought them up to speed. So initially, one of my partners, his wife was, she's a Holy Ghost woman. She's spirit filled, no problem there. But the other one came from a more conservative religious background, and she had a hard time kind of handling me with,
I bet you did.
Yeah. You know, and so, but anyway, I'll just share this one testimony real quick. This testimony shifted everything in the business. And that's what usually happens. So anyway, I was doing business with Public Supermarket in, Jacksonville, Florida. And the produce buyer's name was Roger. And Roger was, and I think I shared this at another podcast, but I want to share how it affected the marriages with my business partners and affected even the church we were going to. Because what happened is Roger was a tough kind of redneck hunter fisher guy, okay? And, you know, Copenhagen dipping.
I think I know his time.
Yeah. He's the guy. So, anyway, I get a call on a Saturday, and our job, we always had a cell phone on us. We were on a leash because we had trucks moving all the time. And if they got in trouble, even on the weekend, if they were delivering Sunday night or Monday morning, we had to be available. So it's constantly on the phone, day and night. And so that's the job. So I get this call on a Saturday, and I don't recognize who it is, because whoever it is really upset, crying and weeping on the phone. And it's Roger. And I'm going, Roger, what's going on? And I'll never forget, because I stand out by my pool, and it was on a Saturday, and you know the kids are in the pool, and I'm listening to the call, and he says, I really need your help. I said, okay, what's the problem? His wife was delivering a baby. The doctors just came out and said, you're going to have to make a choice. Either we save the baby or we save your wife, but we can't save both. And we need an answer right now. He said, wait a minute. He goes outside on the phone. He calls me. I pick up the phone on the first ring. And he said to me, he says, Kurt, what should I do? And I mean the Spirit of the Lord. I'll never forget. I was standing out on my deck out next to the pool. And the Spirit of the Lord just hit me. And the Lord said, you tell them that they will both live and not die. Now, the challenge is if they go for both, they could lose them both.
Yeah.
So I just told Roger, I said, well, Roger, the Lord just gave me a word. Now, understanding, I've been prophesying, praying for this guy for 2 years, and he's a great client. And I said, you go in there and tell that doctor that they're both going to live and to proceed as both will live. And at that time, I said, in Jesus' name. And he said, all right, I'll do it. He went in, they both lived. Now, this is what happened. Roger got saved. Roger's wife got saved. Roger's son from previous marriage was in the house, got saved. In that office in Jacksonville, several of the people got saved. And my business partner's wife, who has having issues with me, no more issues anymore. That story and that testimony, and then we start getting pictures of the wife and the baby and everyone lived. What it did is it shifted everyone. There's something about the love of God to bring a miracle in that type of a critical situation that takes faith and love to another level. I could do a podcast seriously for 5 hours on the miracles I had in the marketplace in the fruit business. People used to invite me to come. I have a director, the director in Publix in Lakeland, literally introduced me to his staff and said, now, before he talks to you about what we're going to do with him, he's going to pray for you. And you need to listen. He's going to preach to you. But the difference is, it's the only time I ever had an introduction to pray and preach where almost every other word, because we're in the produce business, was like cuss words. You know, I mean, it was just like, I mean, everything
was. Wait, so you got set up really nice.
Yeah, it was a nice setup. And people, everywhere I went, people got healed. And, but I'll be honest with you, my mind was on my mission. And, you know, one of my favorite scriptures is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
It's kind of funny that happened in Lakeland. You know, Lakeland historically is a pretty big hotbed for, you know, big movements and stuff like that.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, good and bad. You know, of course, it has, you know, the bad side that moves there, but the good has far outweighed it. Yeah, it's a portal. You know, that whole area is a spiritual. There's spiritual portals like, you know, we're in one here at, you know, for, you know, the portal of the one new man for the United States is here in Fairland, Oklahoma. But there's portals like there's different places. That's why when I go someplace, sometimes I can't minister a message unless I'm in that particular portal. Like in Florida, when I go to the Hammonds Church there in Santa Rosa Beach, that's a war portal. There's things that come out of me that I speak there that I can't speak, let's say, in Los Angeles when I'm in LA. It's a different, you know, in LA, actually, when I'm ministering in, when I was in Long Beach and I'm ministering there, there's a real media anointing in there, obviously. I mean, it's, you know, like it or not, I'm born and raised there. And so I think I can talk about it in the nice way and critical way. It's my hometown. But as far as communication and messaging to the world, that's the hub. That is the portal of communication. So at the good and the bad from Los Angeles, same thing. You know, Billy Graham back in the day had one where his big revival started, there. Santa Monica, that's where the Pentecostal revival started, you know, in Santa Monica. So anyway, yeah, there is portals. But, you know, kind of getting back on this with people, if people understand and they get their mind into trying not to hide their faith, listen, you don't need to go overboard like what I did. I don't do it anymore. Listen, but Christy will tell you, if you travel with me,
Get ready.
I'm going to minister. I mean, everywhere, even in Israel, everywhere we go in Israel, every day, four or five people, not saved.
Bus drivers. Yeah. I mean, I saw it.
Yeah. I don't care if they're saved or not. I don't care if they're Muslim. I don't care if they're Palestinian. I don't care if they're Jewish, Orthodox. It doesn't, listen, I look at them, they're all God's children. And, you know, and one of the things, you know, people say this and they say, well, I don't see color. And of course, I was raised in Los Angeles in the 60s. I see color. You know, I lived through the Watts riots and I understand race wars. And I went to a, you know, a 50% white, 50% black high school. So that kind of explains it. You know, I mean, we had riots and fights and LAPD on the campus and it was rough. So I do see color. And when I say this to people, I'm going to say this from experience. And I'd say this to, and I have, as you know, I have some very good African-American friends that are huge leaders in the body of Christ in the African-American community. One of the reasons they communicate with me is because I do see color, because when I go to their church to minister, I honor them by bringing a word into their culture so they can understand it and receive it. I don't force the Jewish culture on the African Americans, no different than I go down to Nijols and I go to the First Nations. I don't force the First Nations. And when I go to Taiwan, I'm in Taipei, I'm not forcing the American way of doing it to the Asians. So what happens is I do my homework so that I can, the goal is to bring my gift at a place where they can receive it. So I'm trying to remove the hindrances. So I, you know, Paul said, I become all things to all people. So when you say you don't see it, I do see it, to be honest with you. It really doesn't matter to me.
I think it's kind of just excellence in communication and the strategies that come with it. You know, I would coin you as someone that is very approachable and very easy to talk with. And I don't know if it's your face or your demeanor or just energy, but I think that really, really helps your ability to connect with people from many different walks of life.
Yeah, I'll tell you, for me, self-examination, it's gratitude. I am so happy to be alive and blessed and to know the Lord and to have gifts. So if they need something, I'm very humanitarian in my heart. I want to help them. I want to help the people. So I think people sense that. And to be honest with you, with Christy and I, all the racial color thing doesn't, I don't know, we minister to everyone. I mean, we got 500 orphans in Kenya. You know, it doesn't matter. It you know, we have Ukrainian orphans. So we have them from blonde hair, blue eyes, to beautiful chocolate colored skin and, you know, beautiful dark brown eyes. It doesn't make any difference. They're all created in the likeness of God and they're all beautiful. And here's the biggest thing is they all need a chance to succeed. And for me, the only way that really the success starts with understanding that Jesus died for your sin. And the reason that's so important is because all of us are born into this world. We're cursed with the curse of the fall of the garden. So once you accept Jesus, you can restart because his blood removes the sin and the wages of sin is death. So that's like the first step. That's why we do this. And so I want it for all people. You know, it's interesting when people see us in Israel ministering with the Arabs and the Israeli Arabs and the Palestinians, and they like us. you know, listen, we give humanitarian aid to the Arabs and the Palestinians as well. It's one of the reasons I think we're successful over there is because we're there to fill a need for the people, not one people, not just our people, not the Jewish people. Obviously, we take care of the Jews first. That's our call. But the scripture says you're to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then all ends of the earth. You're to be a witness to all the nations. So we take that quite serious. And so we do that. And I really think if in the marketplace, when you're carrying your gift, you have to realize, like I think what like you said, Daryl, you they're going to see that you have love, that you have peace, and they'll start pulling on you. You know, it's just something that I don't know. I went to my local restaurant the other day, and we're getting takeout food. So the takeout's around the side, okay? So I go in, and it's like you walk into the restaurant, then there's a bar, the door's closed, it's all glass in there, and then around the corner's where you get your takeout. And yeah, I've lived on the same place for 20 years. So everyone knows Rabbi. So, but the point is this is what I want to say. It's like, it's not my marketplace, but I walk in and the bar is full and everyone's in there drinking. And the lady that cuts my hair, Tammy's in there. So as soon as I walk in, she starts yelling, Rabbi, Rabbi, you know? And so I said, all right. And so then I went up to Jane. I said, is my dinner ready? She says, no, give me a few minutes. So I go into the bar. It's like, oh, all right, Christians can't go. Well, where I live, you go into the bar. Otherwise, you have nowhere to go. So I mean, I live in a resort community. So anyway, I go into the bar and she's there and she says, Rabbi, how are you doing? What are you doing today? And I start unpacking what we're doing in Israel. Every single person in there stop drinking, turn their head. They're wanting to see what CLM is doing with Israel. And I'm explaining to them, I said, oh yeah. I said, we had 250 soldiers today. We basically barbecued, we fed them. You know, we brought snacks. And right there on the Gaza Strip, I mean, literally the whole bar, it's not a big bar, it's like 10 people. Everyone stopped. And I said, you know, the reason I do this, Tammy, and I'm talking to Tammy, but loud enough that, you know, I just thank God for all the supporters we have that they want to be able to just think about it. You know, you hear about the war on the news. You hear it like for maybe a 2-minute soundbite or whatever. When you're in Israel, every day you wake up, 24/7, it's the war. These soldiers are in war. 24/7. If we can interrupt that and come and barbecue and fix them a meal, you know, I love to barbecue. I always send them ribeyes because everyone knows it's a ribeye for the rabbi. And I send them steaks. I send them what I like to eat. I'm not sending them hot dogs and that stuff. So anyway, when we do this, I said, it's so nice to be able to help their souls and their motivation to know they're not alone. And I mean, there's like one guy over at the side starting to get a tear in his eye over there. So anyway, then Jane comes, says, oh, she says, Rabbi, your food's ready. And I get, okay, bye. So that was like a 5-minute thing in the marketplace where all I was doing was sharing my testimony. And I didn't know some of the people at the bar I know because they're locals, but some of them were people just visiting the resort. And I can tell you, when I walked out of there, I'm sure Tammy was saying, well, did you know who that is? This is what they do. You know, and because she's a big advocate, she's cut my hair for years out here. That's working in the marketplace. That's allowing the goodness of God in your testimony to prosper. So it's not just where you work, it's where you walk.
Yeah, so let's do this first. KurtLandry.com/CLP9. That's just the number 9. That's the 9 gifts of the Spirit. You can get the download and follow along with this episode and be able to apply some of these principles and some of these techniques to your life. So let's transition to a more practical approach. Where would someone start that you would advise them if they wanted to start having more faith-based conversations, maybe at a safe level, because I think generally, you know, people, especially people that work for states, you know, governments in general, you know, like there's not a lot of room on that side to get spiritual. But what would you encourage the listeners who are in that situation? And, you know, I'm not talking about testifying to family and stuff like that. I'm talking about people that you've got a professional relationship with, or you may not know that much, but you're in the professional setting. What's a couple of things that they can do for like a soft start?
Well, that's a good question. And I'm going to give you just one example, maybe two examples. First example is this, and you, I'll do this because you were with me. Okay. So we went to go and give a party to our children who are the Ukrainian orphans. Remember, we went to Naftali.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So we're there. Yeah. Okay. Remember, we had all the clowns and all the stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but the agreement was with that group, with the kids, because they're children, they didn't want me to preach to the children. Okay. Just be, you know, thankful. So I said, okay, I'm good with that. Listen, I honor whatever they want to do. But the Lord told me and told Christy, she says, I want you to bless every one of those children. I said, okay, I can do that. So you have to get creative. So how do you bless them? You bless them by the laying on of hands. But I didn't go up to them and say, and for thus saith the Lord, I layeth hands on thee, and I bless you, little Ukrainian child, you know, and then push their head back or something. You're like, no, that's not what I did. But if you recall, think in your mind, you were there filming.
Okay.
You'll watch Christy going through the crowd, and she's hugging and putting her hands on the head of every child in there, and I was doing the same thing. It was on purpose. We said, okay, can't preach to them, but we're gonna bless them. And I said, okay, so you go on that side, I'll go on this side, but you need to make sure, we need to make sure that every single one, she even got, when we were over by the popcorn machine where they had the stuff, she said, did you see that little one over there? And it was one that was a little bigger and you could tell was abused and just, he was a mess. Hmm. And he wasn't interacting with her. And she said to me, she says, she didn't say Kurt. When we're in Israel, she said, Rabbi, did you go pray for him? I said, no. She said, I wasn't comfortable. Would you go over? And I went over to him and I said, this is a great day. Can I shake your hand? I shook his hand. Okay. He went like that. And I said, you know, it's so good to see you. I'm so glad that you're here today. I said, can I give you a hug? I mean, he grabbed me and, you know.
Big old hug.
And they need love. So anyway, that was like one way to do it. Okay, now let's go into the marketplace. If you're in the marketplace, I'll give you a situation. I met a very successful businessman down in Florida on my last trip. He actually had an invention, and this invention involved some football equipment, and he was telling me about it, and the football equipment's like stuck in patents and getting into the marketplace and stuff like that. So he's telling me about it, and I'm going, okay, and inside my head, I'm getting a word of knowledge, you know, word of knowledge, the gift of spirit, knowing something that you couldn't know through human intelligence. And the Lord said, if you'll bless that equipment, it will break the assignment of, and then I don't want to go too much into it, but there's a group blocking this thing from coming to market. The ones that would lose money if it comes to market. Okay. So the Lord shows this to me. I said, okay. So the Lord says, don't tell him because he won't get it. So the Lord gives me an idea. So what I do, Daryl, is I take, it's a football helmet. Okay. And it's safer than anything else. So I said, I'm getting ready to leave. We're visiting. Everything's good. You know, very high end, very successful guy. I said, where I want to leave. I said, hey, by the way, would you mind if I prayed over that helmet so that this thing would get to market? And he said, well, you're blank right. I said, good. I said, can you give it to me? It's all right. I said, now listen, this is your invention, right? You invented it. I said, would you put your hand on top of that helmet? He says, yeah. I said, I'm going to put my hand on top of your hand. I'm going to come in agreement that God would break every assignment of the enemy that's trying to hold this back from coming to the marketplace. And I said, would you mind? In Yeshua's name. He goes, what? Yeshua? In Yeshua's name. He's going, yeah, in Yeshua's name. My wife, Christy's standing over there crying, you know, and I'm praying for the thing. So, I mean, it's in the marketplace, and it was just like, it wasn't weird. It was just at the last minute, you know, we're doing the guy thing, and he says, and he knows all about me. He says, man, what you guys do. And so he's man. He wants to say, well, I do something great too. Look, I invented this helmet. But then he tells me the story, and I go, okay, I get what's blocking it, you know. And so we broke the assignment. I'll be back down there in a few weeks. I'll see when I meet with him if the thing broke loose. Most likely it did. But what happens is you have to get creative. And so if you're in like a woke business or you're working for a government agency where all this stuff is, you can still operate in it. You just have to get more clever. Listen, you don't have to be, you know, I don't wear any religious. I do wear my ring that my wife got me that is in Hebrew is a blessing. But I'm not like big into the bumper stickers and all. It's not that. The key is it's not about your appearance, it's about the fact that you care. And the key is people will want you to pray for them. People, you know, especially people if they're sick, you know, people are getting ready to go through a divorce, you know, and they need peace in their life. You know, just look for those opportunities. Just kind of like what Christy and I did with the Ukrainian orphans. All we did, if you recall, you can think back, look at the film. So, man, what's the rabbi going by touching all of them on the head? It's because the mayor didn't want, because we had TV, also there was, you know, reporters there. So he didn't want me to get him in trouble with bringing the Christians in, and I'm up there in Jesus' name praying for the kids. But I did the same thing by laying hands on him. I accomplished the same task.
Okay, so let's go to this as we get towards the deep end, towards the end of this episode. What's an example with a little bit of piece of wisdom and advice to now do a soft approach into the marketplace? But I'll say the side of the marketplace is family, right? That you're trying to, you know, I think we've talked about this on the show where I've got a saying that it's kind of like you're saying about money. I've got one that is no one really takes advice or does anything until they think it's their own idea. So, yeah. You know, I mean, like you could sit there and tell someone how to make $1 million tomorrow and they're just going to think you're full of it. But one day they have that shower moment or they're driving and it just hits them, right? And they get inspired and, you know, their brain starts going into that different chemical release of ideas and stuff. And then they do it, and then you sit back on the backside, like, man, I've been trying to tell you this for like forever. So, taking that approach and that idea, because I think that's very true when you're trying to talk with someone about scripture or about, you know, maybe I would call something a secondary thing, something outside of salvation. You know, people are upset about instrumental music or something, and you know, I mean, like you get into a scripture fight with someone in your family and they're throwing 15 verses at to your two. Where would you soft approach, you think, to get into good with them and to impart wisdom, but spiritual truth to that individual family member?
Oh, okay. The thing I like about this podcast is I'm being... And everyone that's listened to it so far likes it. I'm just really just being very transparent. So I'm gonna go the opposite approach. First of all, I don't quote scriptures to my family.
I like that.
I don't. And because of like who I am in the family, I go very low key. But what will happen is in the family, they'll come to me and they'll usually say, they don't call me rabbi. They'll say, Kurt, they'll say, What do you think about this? And what I do is I bring spiritual principles in a parable way.
I like that.
That's how I deal with it. So I don't get into the scripture.
That's almost kind of how you handle this. Which, like, one thing that I was really trying to get you to do is just tell a lot of stories, and then I ask you a bunch of questions that, you know, I mean, we talk topic based about the episode, but I don't even know what I'm going to ask you before I ask it.
Well, that's why I think people like it. But no, I just don't. With my my family's my family. You know, and I'm not like all that in a bag of chips to my family. It's, you know, I'm just Kurt. I'm just who I am. And to be honest with you, when I'm out in public and people react to us in a public way as a public figure, I'm still not used to it. I don't think of myself as a public figure. I think of myself, really, to be honest with you, my identity is I'm a man of God. That's it. So you were there. When I'm sitting with the Minister of Defense, the Mayor of Jerusalem, a soldier, the waiter at the Deja Vu restaurant, it doesn't make me any difference. I'm just a man of God. I am not a politician. I am not Likud. I'm not Labor. I'm not Democrat. I'm not Republican. I, you know, even when I meet with government officials in the United States, I don't approach them from a party. I'm carrying the presence of God and the wisdom of God, and I try to answer their question as unreligiously as possible, but with the knowledge and the wisdom that would come from knowing God. And that's a journey for me. But a lot of it has to do with identity. I teach on it. My identity is as a man of God, a child of God. I don't think of myself as a rabbi. I don't think of myself as an apostle. There's lots of labels put on me. But, you know, I couldn't go, it'd be a little awkward, like being on a interview and saying, well, here's the man of God. You know, I mean, that kind of sounds wacko. But in real life, that's who I am. I'm just a man of God. And my job, listen, I have some very powerful friends that are consultants to presidents and all sorts of people. But they're really smart at like lobbying and policy and constitution. I mean, they're just like brilliant and all that. And I'm not brilliant at that. That's not my thing. My fastball is the Word of God and the nature of God's word and the practicality of how to apply it in the world. That's my lane. I have to stay in that lane. I'm not any good at anything else. This is what I do, and this is what I was created for. So I just kind of stay in that lane. And if they don't want that type of, you know, the beauty, I think, of the testimony, and you know it, is I did come out of the corporate world, so I do understand how it works. So I can go back in. That's why I can go into the bar or go into the stuff. And I have people say, I can't believe you're a man of God. You're going in there. And it's like, it's okay, because my mentor, my ultimate mentor, this Jewish rabbi named Yeshua, he went in the bar. So if he goes in to the prostitutes in the bar, then I'm going. So I, you know, Christy and I, we'll go anywhere. Well, we're not like, we don't care what people think. And, I went in an airport. I'll tell you that. I took this Bible right here. I went into, Lord told me going into airport. And so our flight was delayed. So, okay. I said, where are we going to sit? And I told Chrissy, I said, I'm going to go in there. And so anyway, she goes, well, I don't want to go in there. And she goes, sorry, you sit out here and read. I went in, took my Bible, sat down.
Was it a bar?
Yeah. Oh. I sat down at the airport bar. That, you know, it's just right there.
Just
like
by, yeah.
Yeah. So, but I mean, I'm public figure. People see me. So I sit there. And there was only one chair. So.
Oh, is this you sitting at the bar too?
I'm sitting at the bar.
Okay.
Okay. I sit down to bar. I opened up this Bible just like this. I just flipped it open and I start to read. And the next thing I know, this guy here leaves and this one on this side leaves. So I thought, man, the power of the King James, New King James, to give me space It's like I'm in business class now. I can stretch my arms out. So, and this is what happened. Then the guy that was next to the other one, sitting over there, and the guy says to me, "Why in the blank did you come in here and sit at this bar with your Bible?" That's what he said to me.
What'd you say?
And I turned around and looked at him, and I said, "Because of you." I said, "The Lord wanted me to meet you. If I'd have just sat here with a beer or a glass of wine, no Bible, you wouldn't be talking to me. But the fact that I sat here, I'm drinking iced tea, I got this Bible open, I'm here because of you. In fact, the reason I'm here because of you," and this is when the gifts kicked in, "you're making a decision when you go home whether or not you're going to divorce your wife or not. In fact, you're on this trip because you're visiting your best friend, and you're visiting your best friend who got a divorce, and you're going to ask him, what is it like to live after a divorce?" This guy is flipping out. I said, "So the reason I'm here is to tell you this. I want to pray for you that you don't get a divorce. And I wouldn't listen to your friend's advice because the scripture says God hates divorce. So I said, can I pray for you?" I literally, my wife's sitting back over the thing. She sees me. He's sitting over there. He slides over into the chair next to me, grabs my hand, and I pray for his marriage. So, I mean, that kind of stuff happens to me all the time. But you know what? You have to go where the people who need help. Like Jesus said, I wasn't sent for those who didn't need a physician. You have to go where the hurting people are.
Yeah. Do you find it odd in churches, congregations, you know, all different types of churches in terms of like denomination that point the finger at all these other ministries or other denominations of churches that do a really good job at spreading the gospel in terms of, like, let's just take example, doing media and creating content to market, to get in front of millions of people, to share the message of Jesus, of Yeshua. Do you find it odd when those people point the fingers at other ones, you know, and finding different ways of saying, hey, like you violated things I would call secondary issues, right? So like then that puts your salvation, you know, on edge because, you know, hey, you know, you got instruments over here. So I it's not biblical and, you know, you got a kitchen or whatever. Is it odd to you that they're the ones that struggle literally the most to spread the gospel? I mean, like literally they won't go outside of like a 20-mile radius of like where the actual physical building is, but they're constantly pointing fingers at people like you or me or anyone else that is actually, you know, aggressive foot forward into the Great Commission.
Well, Daryl, the way I deal with it is this. All the revelation I have, compassion in my heart, and the boldness in the spirit to do what I'm sharing with our guests and our partners, that's a gift from God. I look at people who point fingers at people like us as they haven't had that visitation yet.
Mm.
So I don't take it personal. I just think, you know what? You haven't had the experience, so you're not like responsible for what I'm responsible for. And listen, I treat them with kindness. My mother raised me. I had some real good principles. My mother always said, remember, if you point a finger at one more, there's four more pointing back at you. So I was raised, if you don't have anything good to say, not a religious home either, but if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all. I mean, I used to get shut down if I was going to run somebody down with my mouth. So I was raised in a house where we just didn't do that. But I do understand, listen, I don't expect other Christians to go into the bar like I did. That's just an example, okay? I That's what I'm sent to do. And I'm not trying to tell people to do that. I'm just trying to tell people, you just have to be aware that the Lord orders your steps, and wherever you go, he's going to bless. Here's the other thing is, the people who have not had the experience that I've had need that group that's more confined. The people in that 20-mile radius need those people. My call is to the nations. I'm not a Oklahoma ministry. I'm a ministry to the nations. So I understand that. So it's a different call. So across the street, Christ Church is over here. And that pastor, I've known him for years. He's a community pastor. I'm an international apostolic training center. I'm here to affect it. I'm very focused on that. It's a very different call. If the community needs help, we're one of the biggest helpers. They help because we have resources. I don't mind helping them. But these other churches that are in the community around here, the smaller ones, their job is to take care of the community. That's not my job. My anointing is to train people to go to the nations. So I just stay in my lane. And my prayer is that in the body of Christ that we would not point fingers at anybody, because I think people have to understand that Jesus died on the cross for them. The Holy Spirit and the presence of the Lord is in them. And so when we point fingers at each other, we're pointing fingers at the Lord.
I think it's definitely a topic in another podcast in itself, because like I would love to dive into more of like the, I would compare it to, I was, say, baptized, whatever, at a certain age, right? But I didn't really figure out faith until I figured out relationship with God and with Jesus. And that to me, I mean, like that's the main thing that goes with a couple of the other main things that I think would be a good podcast for people that deal with issues in their family. Even issues, kind of like what this is, like from a marketplace, more of a career aspect. But how to deal with that, like relationally, because you know, it's one thing for certain people in my family, and the reason why I sometimes have scripture battles with them, it's because I love them, but it's more so I want them to have that freeing relationship and just take it off my shoulders type of feeling, and that peace that comes with knowing your salvation, but living an everyday relationship with God. Because I just think there's so many people that get stuck in these denominations, and I'm not naming any. I mean, I've got one in mind, obviously, right? But there's so many, and so many people I know, they get stuck in this list of rules, right? And what they take in from a minister perspective on Sundays or Wednesdays, whenever they go, that bleeds over into the marketplace at work, right? So they're timidous to talk with people because of certain demeanors or ideals of their faith make it very difficult to be an excellent communicator to spread the gospel to people.
Yeah. Well, what you're saying kind of in a nutshell, if you have a judgmental, critical spirit, you're not going to be able to do outreach. It's just, you have to love people where they're at. And I think when you say people are attracted to Christy and I, we're not critical, we're not judgmental. We pray for Orthodox Jews, we pray for Mennonites, we pray for, you name it. I mean, it's, you know, in our area, we have all these different types of people who aren't even supposed to shake hands, touch, or have eye contact with. I lay hands and pray for all of them. Well, how is that? They trust me. They've watched me for a lot of years, and they would never come to House of David. But when I'm out in the community, I pray for them. They know that we carry faith and miracles. Everyone knows that. And you'd be surprised. I've had people who absolutely hate me. And for whatever reason, anti-Semitic or whatever, it doesn't matter. And I've had phone calls where they say, would you come to my house at night and pray for them? And we do. So scripture says, pray for your enemies. They're not my enemy. I'm an enemy to them. A lot of it just has to do with they don't like the fact of what you believe. It may be right. So this is the trouble in religious educational systems. If you bring something new and they go, oh, wow, that's true. Oh, wow, that's great. Then on the other side, their brain goes to their soul. Well, what else don't I know? And it creates fear. So it's just better to say, I don't like that feeling of maybe I've learned something incorrectly. So I'll just keep the lid on what I know.
And attack. Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's the world we live in. Perfect love casts out fear. One of the reasons I think the Lord has prospered and blessed the ministry in every way is to be a witness to the community and to the people that interact with us, that we are different. We try to do everything in excellence, and we do our work as unto the Lord. We try to be humble, but also the interaction with the people in the ministry needs to be such that it provokes them to jealousy, that they say, you know what, maybe these guys have something going on.
Podcast at curtlandry.com. You can send in your questions, your thoughts to us. That's our email inbox. Just make sure that you put the subject line in that for us. That will help. Also, curtlandry.com/CLP9. It's how to get your free download for 9 gifts of the Spirit. All right, we've made it to the deep end. Rabbi, lasting thoughts before we get out of this one.
Oh, well, you know what? Look at every single person. And if God brings them into your path, just, you know, understand that what you're carrying in you, Jesus, is the answer.
curtlandry.com/CLP9, 9 gifts of the Spirit. We'll put that link and everything else that we've talked about in the show notes of this episode in the description. And before we go, of course, we'll always ask you, if you love this show, if you enjoyed listening to it, we would love for you to recommend it, refer to a friend, a family, anybody that you think that might need to hear this episode, especially. We would be honored if you would share that. Share it on Facebook, on YouTube, anywhere that you can share it, that you have social media. If you can leave a review in this episode, rank it a star, and leave us a review, that would be awesome as well. All right, Rabbi, it's going to wrap it up for this episode. Until next time.
Thank you. Shalom. It's a new year and a new you. Have you ever wondered how to stay consistent with growing spiritually, but also winning and achieving your goals you have for yourself this year? Get your free download of My Goals to Grow by visiting curtlandry.com/grow2024. That's curtlandry.com/grow2024. I'll help answer questions like, where do I start? How do I walk in the Spirit? Or how do I do spiritual warfare? Or how do I believe that I'm more than a conqueror? Understanding that Matthew 6:33 positions us for success in this year ahead, that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto us. The fruit of the Spirit is evident in his covenant. Know this, that if you can establish his covenant in your heart and in your mind, you will be successful this coming year. So get your free download for Goals to Grow 2024 by visiting curtlandry.com/grow2024 or visit the show notes in this episode. There are some projects that really touch your heart, and this is interesting because our son-in-law, Paul Marcelino, his dad, Yochanan Marcelino, helped to produce this book. And the whole purpose of this book, Jerusalem Rising, is to be able to bring visual evidence that Jerusalem and Israel actually belongs to the children of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that this is the land of Isaac. And and the miracle power. You know, they say that a picture's worth a thousand words, and this book captures that. So listen, I'm really blessed for a limited time, and while supplies last, you can get a 30% discount by entering the promo code of RISING. And so what you need to do is go to kurtlandry.com/rising, and you can be able to claim your discounted copy of Jerusalem Rising. So that's kurtlandry.com/rising. Get a 30% discount now while supplies last.
Hey, one more thing. After this episode, I would love for you to go and download and listen to another podcast on the One New Man Network, and that's called Generations at the Table with Megan Marcelino. This show is perfect for discovering how to grow your family in faith by knowing your Jewish roots. Megan breaks down all of her knowledge on how to unlock your family's kingdom destiny by honoring Yeshua. You can find her show on the One New Man Network on your favorite podcast app.